It says how to ethically steal my model in less than 10 minutes.
Welcome to the Everything Goes My Way podcast, where I share how to get more clients, increase sales, build a business that runs without you, and the many mistakes I've made on the journey. So hope you get value and subscribe.
2017, I signed up for a gym mentorship with this guy named Alex Hermosi. Now, some of you guys might know who he is. He's big on YouTube now. But in 2017, nobody knew who he was, including myself. And so my gym at the time, it was struggling. I made about $5,000 a month. And when you own a gym business, unlike a clean business, like I have an actual brick and mortar facility. I have lots of expenses that go with that. And I was making almost no money. When I say almost no money, I mean, I was making enough money just to pay my gym business bills and pay my personal bills. And this went on for nearly 3 years. And so after 3 years, I started to realize that what I was doing wasn't working. And so when I saw this ad come across for this guy named Alex Hermosi and his company called Gym Launch, I was like, okay, well, we'll see what it's all about. And so I remember getting on a phone call with him, and I was sitting in Katie's her bedroom. At the time, we were not married. We were just dating at the time. And it was 8 a.m. on a Saturday morning, and he started to explain to me about his perfect gym model and explain to me to his offer and how he got clients in the door and what he did once they got in the door, how you sold them. And I just was like getting so excited. I was like, oh my gosh, like this is it. Like I see the path. Like this is what I've been missing for the last 3 years. And then he told me how much it cost. And I remember sitting there, and the question he asked me before he told me the price was, are you ready for the sticker shock? And I just kind of like, oh no. And I said, sure. And he said it was $10,000. And my heart just sank in. I sat quiet on the phone for, it seemed like an eternity, but it was probably like 30 seconds. And at the moment I contemplated, I was like, man, can I do this myself? Right? Or is this like that moment? This is one of those moments that is going to transform my life. And I said two words that like changed my life forever. I said, fuck it. Let's do it. And I did. And I made the commitment to join his program, and I invested my last $10,000 with him. And when I say my last $10,000, like that $10,000 wasn't even in the bank because I was so afraid of losing it. I had it underneath my pillow in a Crown Royal bag that I slept with because I was like so afraid of losing this like, last $10,000 that I had saved up. Man, I was just, at that point, I was committed. I was committed to doing exactly what he said to do, because I had no backup plan. I had like, that was all the money I had. So like, I had to make this work. I burned the boats. And so although I was super uncomfortable, like I had to trust him. I had to. And I was very fortunate. I went from doing about $5,000 a month to that very first month, I made $50,000, and my life completely transformed. And man, that was like a huge moment in my life. And one of the biggest reasons was because I just trusted the process, and I did what he had perfected over the course of many, many years, and it just worked, right? And so when it comes to the cleaning business model, like what we've been able to build with this, it just works, right? And we've been able to utilize a lot of what we learned from prior businesses and be able to put it in the cleaning business. And so this is my mold, right? And so there's lots of other business models out there. There's different gurus out there. There's different clean mentorships that say do this or versus do that. But ultimately, I'm just going to tell you what my model is. And, you know, if you want to go faster and you want to have less decision-making, you want to focus on the big things, then this is how we do it. And I would suggest this is how you do it as well. And so this is our org chart, right? This is our Bozeman 5-star org chart. And so we have a couple job descriptions. We have our CEO, we have our COO, we have our board, we have our GM, we have marketing, we have recruiting, we have sales manager, we have customer support manager, we have cleaning tech manager, we have a training manager, we have cleaning techs, we have customer support specialists, and we have a salesperson. Okay. So these are all the roles that we have in the self-made model. Okay. Now, if you actually look here closely, you'll see that under these positions, there's multiple names. So not each person has one role, but some of these people actually have multiple roles. And now the bigger your company gets, the more of these roles can be individualized. But in the very beginning, when we first started this, like Katie and I were doing everything. And so if we plugged all these things in here, you would have saw that I was the CEO and the COO. I was the general manager. I was the clean tech manager. I was the support manager. I was the sales manager. I was the recruiter, and Katie was the cleaner. And that's kind of how we started out, right? And then as we started to elevate ourselves, we started to replace our names on this org chart with other people, right? And sometimes other people, they got more opportunity, and they got to replace us on different names on the org chart as well. And so that's the kind of the key to this whole process, is to continue to replace yourself on the org chart. And you can see now that I am outside of the org chart. I'm actually on the, like, I'm still a CEO, but I'm also a board member, which means I don't have any day-to-day role inside the company. And so this is what I call the self-made model. And when you have this model, man, it just allows you to see what the end looks like. And again, it goes back to clarity. Like, the clarity you get on where you're going, it becomes easier to do the hard work up front. It's easier to go through the pain and the challenges of growing a freaking business, right? It's a lot of pain. It's very much like giving, like having a baby. And when we had our very first, when we had our second child, Lainey, like my wife, Katie, she was pregnant for 9 months, and she had to go through all the challenges and the obstacles of being pregnant. And she got bigger, she got more lethargic, she got tireder, and there was no result, right? Until about 9 or 10 months in, when all of a sudden our youngest daughter was born, then all of a sudden we got the result. We got the result of, like, oh my gosh, these 9 or 10 months, it became worth it because now our daughter became born. But that was just another season, right? And the next season was, now we had to keep this thing alive, right? And we had to nurture it, we had to grow it, and we had to get it from being born to about the toddler years, which are about 2 years old. And then toddler years from 2 to now, she'll be 4 in about a month. Like, that's a whole nother transition. And we also have a 13-year-old daughter as well. And so, like, I know those different seasons from 4 to, 9 or 10 years old. Like, there's different seasons, and your business will also have different seasons. And so just understanding that when you're able to see what it looks like when your kid is 18, you can look at it from that point of view. You can see how you want to parent your child. Same thing is with your business. When you look at your business of, like, what it looks like when it's complete, you can start to see who needs to replace you in certain roles. So this is the self-made model org chart. Again, you'll have access to this as well. And so when it comes to self-made model, there's a couple big decisions that you need to make, right? And so we're talking about a couple of these decisions, but a few of these big decisions are, like, services offered. And so what we offer residential deep cleans. We offer residential maintenance cleans. We offer move-out cleans. We offer small office cleans. We do vacation rental cleans sparingly. So before I touch on vacation rental cleans, you also notice that we don't do commercial cleans. We don't do construction cleans. We don't do, like, hazardous cleans. And the reason why is because, like, we're just not equipped for it, and we want to stay focused on what we're good at, right? And what actually makes us the most money. And I put vacation rental cleans in here sparingly. So in the very beginning, I think people really love the idea of the vacation rental cleans because technically they're easy to find and easy to get, but they are a big pain in the butt because of the time allotment that you have to dedicate towards vacation rental cleans. Like, you only have from about 10 or 11 to about 2 or 3 to get it done. They must be done that day. And a lot of times, if you don't have the staff to be able to cover these vacation rental cleans, then who ends up doing it is potentially you, right? And so what we found with our cleaning business, when we service our short-term rental cleans, we own 11 short-term rental units in Bozeman, is that we kept on having to pull off our cleaners from their weekly cleans or their reoccurring clients because we had a staff member quit or call out or get sick, and we had to pull them off one of their normal cleans in order to get these ones done because they had to be done in a specific time frame. And also, in a worst case situation, my wife had to actually, like, go, and she had to go drop what she was doing and go clean because we had somebody call out sick or somebody forgot to clean the property. And so vacation rental cleans can actually be really tricky when you don't have a big enough staff. And so the reason why I say that is because now that we have now that we're floating between 10 and 12 cleaners, now it makes more sense for us to do vacation rental cleans. Now we're starting to look at actually picking up more, where up until probably about 3 or 4 months ago, we actually just would turn down all vacation rental cleans because they just were a pain in the butt. So once you have a big enough staff, then vacation rental cleans can actually become really, really valuable and really, really prosperous. And a second piece of that, if you actually can establish a relationship with a laundromat, which we did as well, that they will pick up your dirty laundries and they'll drop them back off, you can actually make even a little bit more money and you can pass that cost on to the host. So anyway, that's the self-made model. This is the model that we use. Our biggest thing that we focus on is how do we get residential maintenance claims? How do we get people on reoccurring, whether it be weekly, bi-weekly, or every 4 weeks? That's our main goal. Everything else is just a feeder into that primary service. Now, the next big decision you have to make when it comes to your model is, are you going to provide cars for your employees or no? And so before, again, because we came into this industry without any cleaning experience or any really industry knowledge, like having cars just didn't make any sense. I would ride a vehicle for an employee. So we don't do cars. And as I started to learn more about it, the people who are the most profitable in the cleaning business, they don't provide cars either. So not only is it just the upfront investment having cars, but then you have to run teams, which we'll talk about here in a second. You also have to probably do a wrap, then you got to pay for gas, you got to pay for insurance and all these other costs. And what we found is that our cleaners have no problem driving their own cars, right? And I'll explain how we're able to do that because we incentivize them differently and just allows us to have less friction when we're able to bring on new cleaners. So we don't have to go buy new cars. We can just bring on new cleaners. And so this has really helped us scale as fast as we have, is because we don't have this big liability of having to provide cars to our cleaners. Now, the next thing is solo versus team cleaning. And so this is something that we just had to learn the hard way. And then eventually we learned that team cleaning is great in theory. But when, again, you have a cleaner who calls out or is sick or somebody who's fired or somebody who quits, then all of a sudden it messes the whole team up, right? And also we found out with solo cleaning is that it just allows people to make more money, give them more autonomy, and allow them more personal responsibility. And so now we do a solo model. So all of our maintenance cleans, they are done solo. Now, we will still do team cleans when it comes to like big move-out cleans or deep cleans or initial cleans. But when it comes to like a reoccurring residential cleaning, it's always solo, right? And it gives the cleaners autonomy, allows them for a consistent schedule and for them to develop a relationship with the houses that they're going to. But also at the same time, if somebody does get sick or call out, we can also put a different cleaner on there as well. So just again, it allows us the flexibility to continue to grow our business without having to be held down by having team two. So in this case, we're only worried about how do we get one person to a clean, not having to get two people there. So another big decision you got to make is uniforms versus no uniforms. And so again, I always think about it from the standpoint of like, how do I create the least resistance? How do I get most of them going? How do I create the least distractions? And we don't do uniforms, right? And so I know a lot of people do, they spend a lot of money on buying t-shirts for people and uniforms to have their company look professional when they walk into a house. And we have never done that. And I've never had a single client complain about them not showing up in a specific uniform or them coming in dirty clothes. Obviously, like we have a dress standard. But we don't have them wear a specific type of clothes. We do have aprons that they can wear that have our logo on it. But outside of that, like it's just one less distraction, one less thing you have to worry about if when you're trying to hire somebody. It's like, oh, do we have enough t-shirts? Do we have enough uniforms to hire more people? And I think the less of those distractions you have, the faster you're able to scale and the more you're able to grow. And then another big decision is employees versus independent contractors. Okay. And so we've actually done this both ways in our fitness business. And then when it came to our clean business, we knew exactly what we wanted to do. And so there's pros and cons to both. The pros to being an independent contractor is that it's much easier to hire people because you don't have to set up unemployment insurance. You don't have to like collect their state and federal taxes. You don't have to do workman's comp. You can generally pay them a little bit more, and then they become responsible for their own taxes. Now, the con to hiring independent contractors is that they must know how to do their own taxes. They must have an independent contractor license to be legit. And another con is that most people who are cleaners, like, they don't want to have to deal with having to set up their own taxes and do their own QuickBooks. And they'd rather actually just pay their fair share in taxes and just be a W-2 employee. And so that's what we decided that we were going to do when it comes to this business model, is we were going to do W-2 employees, because it gave us, number one, more control. And we could dictate whether, like, how much somebody worked and that they showed up to team meetings. And we had control over the end clients as well. And I think that's one of the biggest reasons, is that there's other business models out there that literally teach you to only do the marketing and sales, and you literally go find independent contractors to do all the fulfillment. But to me, the business model, the reason why it makes this business model so intriguing and so sexy, is that you have reoccurring clients who will continue to pay you for, like, as long as you continue to service them, potentially forever. And the reason why I say that is because we actually have a client. Her name is Susan Bianchini. She was the second or third person I signed up. So again, I only did sales for about a month, and I signed her up. She's like our second or third person, and she is still with us today. I always see her commenting on our Facebook ads. I see her on the schedule, and she's one of the clients who just, like, near and dear to my heart, because I signed her up, right? But she's been with us for a couple of years now. And that's really the value in this company, is that you can have a client that continues to pay you over and over and over again. So that's why we choose the W-2 model. And also, from, like, a risk standpoint, is that depending on how you actually manage your cleaners, if the state, for example, deems that the people that you've been paying as an independent contractor, they should have been classified as a W-2 employee, they can actually take you and they can sue you for all those back taxes. And so I've actually heard stories of somebody who, they had a business very similar to a cleaning business where they hired all their employees as independent contractors. And then one of the independent contractors went down to file unemployment. And they're like, well, you can't file unemployment, like, you're an independent contractor. And then guy's like, well, I've been an employee for this guy for the whole time. Like, he pretty much treats me like an employee. Like, I don't have any other income. I don't have a job from anybody else. And so the state did an investigation on him and his company. And so not only did he lose that fight against that one unemployment case, but then they started digging into more research and found out that he had like 10 years worth of other employees. And he ended up having to pay hundreds of thousands of dollars in back taxes, ended up just putting him out of business. And so there's another risk as well. The reason why I like to play it safe, and I go with W-2 employees. And one of the final things we're going to talk about is hourly pay versus commission pay. So again, we did hourly pay for a while. And then when we transitioned over to commission pay, like, it changed everything for us. And so what it did is that it put us on the same side of the table as our cleaners. And so what I see a lot in hourly pay is that as the business owner, you're always trying to limit how much the cleaner gets paid, because you assert their time clock, like, when they show up to the office, or when they show up to the clean. Do they clock out when they're done with the clean, or when they get back to the office? Do they get drive time? All these things. And we solve all those problems by simply just paying our cleaners based on commission of the revenue generated. We paid them a good commission. And so again, like, you get access to our commission rates and our tiered system. But when we're able to do this, all of a sudden the questions about, do I get paid for drive time? What about gas? Those other things, like, they went away, because everything was rolled into this idea of commission pay. And we also, we get lots of tips because we ask for tips, and those tips go 100% to our cleaners. And so that's our way of saying, like, hey, like, you're responsible for your gas. You're responsible to use your own car. You don't get paid for, like, you don't get paid to drive, but what you do to get paid is you get paid a lot of money to actually clean a home.
If you're a cleaning business owner or want to launch a cleaning business, I did a free masterclass on how to build a million-dollar cleaning business even if you have zero experience. So if you want to learn more, go to logansCleaningCo.com to create your free account. Hope you enjoy.